Well, the provincial government got some positive response to this year's budget with the introduction of all-day kindergarten and some new student grants for post-secondary education, but it's also drawing some criticism. Financial strategist Harry Tucker is one of those who's critical of the budget. His blog, Newfoundland, Should We Just Shoot It and Put It Out of Its Misery?, criticizes government for not making the tough decisions he thinks need to happen. And Harry Tucker speaks with Melissa.
Good morning, Harry.
Good morning.
So why are you so critical of the latest Newfoundland budget of 2014?
I see a budget where revenue projections are, I think, overly optimistic. I see a budget where costs are ever increasing, and there doesn't seem to be any due care or concern about that. And I see things like unfunded pension liabilities, which, on the grand scheme of things, I think are starting to get out of control in the province.
You mentioned that that was one of the things that was repeated over and over the week of Budget Week was the unfunded pension liability, which right now stands at $7.3 billion, but expected to grow. So how do we handle that problem?
To handle that problem, I think, requires some courage and some intelligence. I think the Newfoundland government for years has neglected to, I think, inform the people of the realities of a fiscal situation. And I think also how the pensions have been managed, I think, is sorely lacking. And I go back to, for example, the teacher's pension, which some years ago was topped up when former Premier Williams collected $2 billion from the Atlantic Accord. And I understand from some sources now that while it was topped up then, it's now $2 billion underfunded again. So there's some voodoo going on in terms of either mismanagement or poor financial forecasting, or maybe someone's dipping into it. I don't know. I don't have the data to understand how it is that it keeps becoming underfunded the way it is.
And when we look at budget 2013 that had massive job cuts and this current budget that has no job cuts, in fact, Minister Johnson said the people told her cuts wouldn't go over very well. So what do you say to that?
As a business guy, I have a real issue with that. In politics and in business, we are hired to lead and not to please. I think what's happening, especially in the budget this year, you have a situation where you need to have one of those come to Jesus moments where you sit everybody down and say, guys, this is where it is. Here are our revenue projections. Here are our costs. Here are our liabilities. And we need to make some difficult decisions. And that's what leadership is all about. It's about courage. So it's not just intelligence. It's about courage to say the things that need to be said. I don't think the current Newfoundland government wants to say the things that need to be said. I think they want to say the things that they think people want to hear. And, you know, that's a disaster.
As many people are calling this budget a election budget. So what are the risks in having an election budget but not facing the problems we have right now?
The Newfoundland government, as with many governments, I think, you know, keeps looking at the difficulty of the situation they have, and they keep punting, you know, they keep kicking it down the road in the hopes that somebody at some point will come up with a magical solution. The difficulty is, you know, when you punt from a financial perspective, the problem grows exponentially over time. So if you look at, for example, the Newfoundland revenue projections for this year, you know, they're based on oil at $105 a barrel. And yet Goldman and other organizations are predicting that oil may run as low as $90 a barrel, and in the worst case scenario, possibly $80 a barrel. When you look at it from that perspective, somebody says, well, we're only running $500 million deficit. But even in the next 12 months, that may turn into a $1 billion deficit. And then it continues. So it's not only this year, but your revenue projections moving forward continue to be much lower than you would need. If people can't get costs under control, then I think inevitably you're going to have a much larger problem.
And I mean, you allude to that problem in your blog. The blog is called Should We Just Shoot It or Put It Out of Its Misery? So what is the solution to fixing the financial problems within the province of Newfoundland and Labrador?
Simple question, very complex answer. And there's a variety of opinions as to what needs to be done. I mean, first of all, you need to get these unfunded pension liabilities under control. You know, when I heard Minister Johnson say the other day, you know, that we're going to start having some dialogue around this soon, I'm thinking, well, Tom Marshall said some years ago that these pensions were a problem. And so my thought is, if you're saying now, you know, we have to get this stuff under control, in my mind, it's like that's just something to appease the electorate. The other thing is you have to get costs under control. Newfoundland will spend over $3 billion this year in health care alone. And the other thing is you need a plan B in terms of your revenue stream. So right now, Newfoundland has pegged a lot of its revenue on oil royalties. And the problem is, with a number of the events going on in the world and that sort of thing, you know, the Chinese economy is starting to weaken a bit. We've got shale oil and all that stuff coming online in ever-increasing quantity. We've got uncertainty in Europe. You have to anticipate that the value of a barrel of oil is going to continue to fall for a bit. So we need a plan B, which is around how do we manage decreased revenue and can we find alternative sources of revenue or be more intelligent about the sources that we have? Now, all that being said, it's a complex mini-armed beast. And the great complexity with this stuff is the longer we wait to have that very difficult conversation, the more complex and difficult it becomes to solve. I think the other thing, too, is, you know, unions in Newfoundland, I think up to now, have been very unwilling to move on in terms of some of the benefits that they've earned for their membership over the years. You know, I've watched some conversations on Twitter between unionized people, and they talk about how they would never back off an inch, you know, on any request to kind of collaborate with government and try to find a solution. So it's time for some very, very difficult conversations. My worry is that politicians aren't in the business of having difficult conversations because they know that difficult conversations may cause them to not be reelected.
And another point that you make in your blog post is that the politicians are not able to explain the intricacies of the big issues that we are facing. How do we communicate to the people of Newfoundland and Labrador what the problems are if you feel that the politicians don't necessarily understand what the implications are?
Well, it's a great question. And I'm always worried when I ask a legislator, you know, why are you voting for such and such a bill? And they can't actually explain it. That being said, there are some very smart people in the province. There are some very smart people within the bureaucracy of the Newfoundland government. So, you know, even if all the politicians or if the specific ones can't explain it, there are people inside who can. And there are some people who have made public statements in the past, Wade Locke and others, who are very smart people. So we have the capacity to have this dialogue. The question I have is, do we have the will to have it? So Newfoundland has the potential to be even more amazing than it is. But this potential is earned, and it doesn't happen by accident. So difficult conversations are necessary in order to realize that potential.
Very interesting conversation there, Harry Tucker, and I thank you for taking my call today.
I really appreciate your time today.
And that's Harry Tucker, originally from Newfoundland. He's a financial strategist on Wall Street and for Fortune 500 companies.